The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The government is expected to approve measures to ban the sale, manufacture or import of single-use or disposable vapes. The proposals are due to be brought to Cabinet this morning by the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. I'm joined by one of Ireland's leading oncologists, that being Professor John Crown, consultant at St Vincent Hospital Group. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Anton. Good morning to your listeners.
John, the original assumption in respect of vapes was that they provided an alternative to smoking for those who might otherwise start, or a step down for those who were committed smokers, and they provided one that was much less damaging and risky to health than cigarette smoking. Has that been proven to be false?
Well, I think it depends on whose intent it is, Anton. I mean, I think it would have been the intent of the medical profession that if current smokers switch to vaping, it would clearly be far less dangerous to their health. It would be better if they managed to give up nicotine addictive products altogether. But there's no doubt that vaping is less common, is less toxic, less dangerous than smoking. I think the tobacco industry worked under an entirely different set of assumptions, which is if we're going to lose business, I mean, they lose business anyway because their customers unfortunately die, but as well as that, if we're going to lose business as the screws tighten on tobacco and as more and more people give it up, let's see if there's another way if we can make money by addicting people to a different form of nicotine product. So I think their assumption was that it made business sense. But of course, what's happened is it has become a recreational drug in its own a recreational activity, I should say, in its own right. And the real danger is it would appear that large numbers of children are taking up vaping, including those who had not previously been smokers. And the real risk, of course, is that with tobacco addiction, it may be a gateway to the other more dangerous forms of tobacco consumption, i.e. smoking. And vaping, by the way, on its own is not harmless. There are risks and harms associated with vaping. It should only, I believe, be used as a medical alternative to smoking.
The risks and harms are what?
Well, there are a raft of chemicals in it, one of which can cause a thing called popcorn lung. There's also nicotine in most of the products, and nicotine can cause its own problems in the circulation, as well as addiction and also problems with the brain. It can cause developmental problems in young people as well. And there are many, many chemicals present in vape, and there are particulates which can irritate the airways and lead to things like asthma and airway disease. And Anton, it must be remembered, we were smoking tobacco in Europe and the Western world since approximately the 16th century. And it took until the middle of the 20th century before the health risks became apparent. So we don't know as of yet what other long-term health risks there may be associated with vaping. And for sure, when you think of there's a chemical called ethylene chloride, which is used in paint stripper, and its use was banned because it's used in paint stripper, and perhaps you might inhale a little bit of ethylene chloride, and it might just cause cancer. But, I mean, good Lord, we're talking about a product which people actually put into their body, about which we don't as yet have good long-term data. So we should never be allowing this potentially dangerous chemical ingestion to occur, except in a circumstance where the risk-benefit ratio, i.e. giving up cigarettes, favors it.
When it does come to people giving up cigarettes, is it an effective mode for people to give up cigarettes?
It is one of the modes, and it is often an effective bridging strategy for people. But again, the risk, of course, is recidivism. It does maintain your tobacco addiction. I mean, I speak with the wrath of the reformed. I used to be a smoker. I know what it's like. I know giving up smoking is not easy, but one can do it. And indeed, we have evidence of it all around us. The number of people in Ireland who smoke is much less than it was. I take medical histories from, you know, 5, 6, maybe 10 new patients some weeks, and you always ask them their smoking habits. And a very common smoking habit is, I haven't smoked for 20 years. I gave it up. I was a regular pack-a-day smoker, and I give up. People can do it. It can be done. You have a rough 4 or 5 days, and then, you know, you're over the worst of it at that stage, and the health benefits start accruing in very quickly. So, yes, I think in strictly controlled environment, vaping is a reasonable bridging method to help people in the acute cravings when they first give up smoking, but the best way to do is to stop smoking.
The government obviously is bringing in measures related to single-use or disposable vapes rather than vapes universally. Do you expect that to make a significant difference to the use of vapes?
My understanding is that the disposable vapes are cheaper and easier for young people to access on limited budgets. So yes, I think, I mean, Anton, in my ideal world, vaping would be only dispensed by pharmacists and on a prescription. I mean, honestly, that's the way I would handle it. If I was in charge of the government, which obviously I'm not, I would say this should be regulated within an inch of its life, strictly as an anti-smoking, and any other access which we provide, either by commission or omission, should be discouraged. We should not make it easy to get vapes, except if you need them to get off cigarettes. And I think this is a step in the right direction. I think they're also tightening up on advertising. They're also removing some of the flavors, and my understanding is they're also going to have a go at the colorful advertising and colorful packets, etc. Any attempt to make it, you know, youth-friendly should be discouraged.
Yeah, I was going to ask that you would be of a view that the flavors are something that shouldn't be available, whether they be in disposable or whether they be in reusable.
I would prefer that they were not. I don't think we should be doing anything to make this a habit attractive. I think for people who are hardcore smokers who get those nicotine cravings, I think they will get sufficient joy from getting the hit of nicotine to help bridge them over the first little while when they give up cigarettes. I don't think they'll particularly need sweet tastes and menthol and things to make it easier for them.
You talked about
Please,
taking...
Everybody listening, if you smoke, stop. The key factor to remember is the earlier you stop, the better. The longer you leave it, the less benefit you will get. There is always a benefit from the cardiovascular point of view, from the heart attack, stroke, from all of those points of view. It doesn't matter when, you can stop in your 60s or 70s, and it will have a measurable beneficial effect. To really reduce your lung cancer risk, you do need to stop early. So anybody who is smoking now, please stop. And if you're thinking about starting, don't. And if somebody in your family does smoke, please encourage them to stop.
If you're in the first half of your life and you do stop smoking, is there a point at which your health prognosis returns to the norm of a non-smoker?
For most people who have a regular smoking habit, who smoke, let's say, a packet of cigarettes a day for 10 years, their specific risk of lung cancer drops substantially when they give up smoking, and the longer they're off it, the better. But it does not drop to the level of a lifelong non-smoker. The best thing is to be a lifelong non-smoker. The next best thing is to be an ex-smoker. Much the worst thing is to be a current cigarette smoker. The risk of getting lung cancer for a current cigarette smoker is approximately 30 times higher than it is for a lifelong non-smoker. And ex-smokers are someplace in between. And the longer you are ex, the earlier you stop, the closer to the lifelong non-smokers risk you assume. But again, to be clear about this, heart attack and stroke risk, that goes down quite a bit, no matter what age you stop at. So the reasons are overwhelming for giving it up.
Do you see vapes contributing to a reversal in the trend of people giving up smoking and nicotine products? Were we winning the war and they have acted as an obstacle in that?
We were definitely winning the war, and the jury is still out as to whether they will act as an obstacle in terms of, you know, large statistical, you know, statements which can be made with authority. But there's absolutely no doubt that there are some young people who are becoming addicted to nicotine and who are becoming smokers as a result. So I, again, even forgetting the risk of it being an entry point into smoking, even on its own merits, we should not be allowing children under any circumstances to have access to chemicals which we know are toxic. They may not be as toxic as smoking, which we know are toxic. We should just not allow that. I mean, as I said, we protect them from the possibility that they may walk past a building site where a paint stripper is being used. Surely we can protect them against putting stuff actually into their body. And I believe that protection should also extend to adults. I believe these should be medicinal products on prescription only.
What do you make of the argument that says that somebody who is habituated into smoking something that tastes like pineapple is highly, or whatever else the flavors are in them, is highly unlikely to make the leap into smoking cigarettes when the taste of the cigarette to the uninitiative is so god-awful?
I don't believe everybody, or possibly even the majority of people, progress to smoking. But I think you're underestimating the power of the craving and addictions for nicotine. Anybody who has smoked and has given up smoking will be aware of that. Those cravings are very, very strong, and you will do what you need to do to get the hit, even if it doesn't taste as good.
John, appreciate your time this morning. That is Professor John Crown. He's one of Ireland's leading oncologist cancer specialists in St. Vincent Hospital Group.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.